The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Created the universe so the dude can write a book. First up, let's use our bodies as a teaching from God. We have one heart, one mind, one mouth, but two ears. Next, sexual activity is not a taboo subject for the church. In fact, it's exactly the opposite of that. The church should be at the forefront of proclaiming the truth regarding sexual activity and not silent about sexual corruption. Oh, no, he's going there. And finally, PETA. People eating tasty animals. Oh, well, that might be wrong. Don't like the Bible because it's closer to Arby's than it is to the tofu crowd because believers can have the meat.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach us a couple of different ways. You can get a paper airplane, put in whatever you want to say, write it in the airplane, and throw it to the studio. Good luck with that one. The other one is you can call 972-445-0770. That's where Terrific T will answer the phone and be very kind to you and gentle to you and help you through the process until you get to me. And then finally, you can text in 214-210-8483. You know it's for praise reports, prayer requests. It's for pop questions if we can answer them on the spot. And it's for trivia. Let's open up with trivia. Pretty simple, straightforward. In what book of the Bible do we read the words, "For the love of money is the root of all evil"? If you know that answer, you can text it in or call it in or send it by airplane. Don't forget, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, let's start off. Are you good for a DNA? Feeling good for it? Okay, here we go. Starting off with a DNA. Why? Because what did we tell you before? Prophetically, news is coming. It is. Therefore, how should the Christian respond? The same way, whether the news is good, bad, or indifferent, with DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Always be ready. That's the A. Always be ready. And then, I'm sorry, that's the A. I forgot the N. I can't even follow my own DNA formula.
I'm going to call it D-A-N.
We'll call it Dan. No. DNA. N, never be ashamed. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
How's that for an opening?
It's pretty dandy.
Yeah, it's pretty dandy. I'm pretty good at this. I never make mistakes multiple times in a row right after one another. Yeah, sure, whatever. Okay, so DNA, draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed, always be ready. I covered up the N on the piece of paper. That's why I missed it. All right, just for that, just because everybody's laughing at me, I got one for you. There's these two people, and they're arguing as they're driving into Waxahachie, Texas. And the one's going, "It's not Waxahachie, Texas. It's Waxahachie." And the other one goes, no, it's Waxahachie, Texas. And the other one goes, "No, it's Waxahachie." So they go to a restaurant, And they go in and they say, look, we're going to order, but we want you to answer a question for us and answer it really slowly so everybody understands the answer. How do you say the name of this place? And the person replies, Burger King. Burger King. Okay. Come on. That's not bad. Okay. I might get buzzed on that. We'll see. All right. Bottom line, I did not answer trivia from yesterday. And so I want to apologize for that. I guess this is the person that the letter was written to. I forgot to tell you who wrote the letter or what the letter was. It was 3 John. John 3. 3 John. 2 Corinthians. Corinthians 2. The number 2 Corinthians. Remember that whole thing? All right. Anyway, 3 John. That's how we say it in the here and the now. So that was the answer to that trivia question. Don't forget, we have a trivia question going on right now. In what book of the Bible do we read the words, for the love of money is the root of all evil? Let's get into our teaching, because I can't do any worse than I'm doing right now. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, say the following. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing wind. All right. This is when Elijah comes before the Lord, and he's trying to nail down hearing from God. He goes towards the Lord, runs away from Jezebel, waiting to hear. This is where God told him, I have seven. When he goes, I'm the only guy that's left. And God goes, I have 7,000 people that have not bowed the knee to Baal. In other words, God's got people all over the place, doing stuff all over the place. He's not sitting there going, oh, my army's thin. It's like ridiculous. But when Elijah has this encounter with God, what happens? He goes to hear from God. He goes to hear the voice of God. The first thing that happens is there's a powerful wind. Oh, my goodness. Strong wind. So powerful. I just want you to catch how powerful the wind is. It's breaking the rocks in pieces. That's a pretty powerful wind. Right? Guess what? God, not in the wind. There's an earthquake. I'm from California, folks. I mean, I came out of there. I was not from there. I was delivered from there, but I was there for 20 years. The point is, an earthquake. Everything shakes and rattles and rolls. You don't know. Guess what? God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, a big fire. And God wasn't in the fire. And then there was a gentle, soft, blowing of the wind. God was not in the strong wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. But he was in the quiet wind, the still, small voice. Now, here's the testimony of our body. Ready? You have one mouth and two ears, which by testimony means we ought to listen at least twice as much as we talk. Listening on both sides, by the way. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but your ears are on both sides of your head, so you should listen to both sides. Get it? Okay, that, get it? See that? See that? See that? That's good. That's good. And the idea is for us to be more listening and more quiet and more still. You know, they actually teach in speech class that you can begin to whisper and people increase their attention so that they'll listen more clearly. Well, that's cute because that's man manipulating. If God wants to tell you and everybody else something, he can pop a rainbow in the sky. He can slap Skittles up there. He can show all the birds and all the animals and do whatever he wants in the sky. But that is not what God is looking for. He's not looking for people that are looking for great and powerful signs in the sky. God is looking for listeners. Just think about that. God is looking for listeners. One of the most powerful prayers is what's called the Shema in the Old Testament for Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But the first thing in the Shema is hear. Hear, O Israel. Our Lord is God, our Lord is one. Hear what's being said. And when you're in the Bible and you're spending time in the Word, which I encourage you to do on a daily basis, and if you can't do it on a daily basis, do it Monday through Saturday. And if you can't do it Monday through Saturday, do it Monday through Friday. But whatever it is, get some routine going that you are consistent in there. I don't care if it's a psalm a day, a verse a day, something a day. Just keep it flowing in your system. It should be more than that, but you got to start somewhere. And the bottom line is, when you're reading the Bible, you don't read it to read. So that you can go in your Bible study or your small group and say, I read my Bible. You read the Bible to hear what God has to say. And he has so much to say about so many things, and there's so much to grow in. I did something that I have not done ever before today. I mean, I've, you know, been doing this for 41 years, so I mean, you have to understand, or more than that, but you have to understand, I've really approached reading the scripture. I did something I've never done before today. I read my entire devotional time on a computer. I've never done that before. I have 23 Bibles. I've gotten rid of 25 other ones. I mean, I just have a lot of print Bibles. I did it for the first time ever today. I actually read electronically and was able to take notes, okay, and do highlights and write personal notes while I was. It was phenomenal because I didn't go into the Word of God to tell God what He was saying. I opened up the Word and I said, talk to me. I just did it on a screen and then used my little mouse to kind of scroll it down. You guys are way ahead of me in this stuff. It's like people are probably laughing going, you didn't know you could do that? Yeah, I knew I could do that. It's just the first time I've ever done it in 40 plus years. I'm slow. Leave me alone. Anyway, listen, pick up that book to hear. Listen, pick up that book to hear what he has to say. What book of the Bible do we read? For the love of money is the root of all evil. That'd be 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All the mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what politics say, regardless of what different people say, Jesus does one thing better than anybody else. He brings hope. It's like, wait, this could be different. And in verse 29, she touches Jesus and immediately her bleeding stops, right? The Bible says, look at it, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. She was freed from her suffering. You know, people will say, well, I mean, how do you know if you're healed? I got a message for you. When you touch the Lord and power comes from the Lord into your life, you know. She knew. Not only did she know, Jesus knew. And Jesus was like, okay, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out for me. Right? And then the disciples are, okay. Like there's like 1,000 people right next to you. How are we supposed to? Now, why did Jesus do all that? Watch this. This is just one of those absolute mind blowers. The first thing that happens to her is her issue of blood ceases to exist because she touches Jesus. We would call that a physical healing. She was physically healed. She had an issue of blood, and that's a problem, and she couldn't do anything to help it. But when she was able to touch Jesus, bam, the physical healing happened. But then Jesus does this such weird thing because he's so cool that it just fits the whole thing. He says, "Who touched me?" And they're all like going, "Okay, well, you know, take a look around, dude. There's a lot of people here." And he's like, "Who touched me?" And then the woman said, "It was me." Right? Jesus not only physically healed her, watch this, he socially healed her. Because a woman who had an issue of blood was not allowed to have the same level of public contact as everybody else. So he heals her physically and then calls her up in front of everybody and goes, "Yeah, you're well now, huh?" It's just think about the moment. And instead of saying anything negative, right? Because God's not like that. He's like, "Oh, your faith has healed you. Okay. Your faith and confidence in you touching me made the difference. You're physically healed. And let everybody who's around you know you are no longer to be untouched because you touched me. Now you're socially healed."
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, I really do like that teaching on that, on the social healing and so on and so forth. It's really some good things to consider and for us to meditate on. Let's get into our next trivia question. Not that difficult, but we didn't get a response on the first one, so sometimes that worries me. Here we go. In what book of the Bible do we find the words, "He who wins souls is wise"? He who wins souls is wise. Give a lot of props to Tommy Barnett, who is probably one of the most evangelistical pastors I've ever met. And he tattooed this bad boy. "He that wins souls is wise." Where is that found in the Bible? Do not forget, as we ask you on a pretty regular basis, our wonderful website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget our website. Go visit there. It's a lot of fun. It can be fun. I think it's fun. Well, I helped create it, so I say it's fun. That's what we're going to go with. I do want to say, yesterday Paige called us. It was Paige who called us. And then I did send her a text because she wanted to get the Hebrew word with the actual, like what it looks like in the Hebrew. So I sent her three. So she's got yesterday's word, and then that'll cover us for the two more we're doing next week. So why I'm saying that is, one, I'm letting T know because I forgot to tell her. And then, two, if you need some extra stuff, whenever we're doing stuff, you need some extra understanding, whatever, just text me, call me. Email me, and I do my best to get you the info whenever I can. Okay? That's part of it. Okay, the trivia question that's on the board, and then we're getting into some very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Normal teaching. It's just freakish in the sense that the church never teaches on it. The question is, in what book of the Bible do we find the words, "He who wins souls is wise"? We have people texting in. If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to call in as well or text in. The text is 214-210-8483. The call is 972-445-0770. Okay? Now you're going to hear me teach something, and some of you are going to freak out, and you know what? You'll get over it. That's my answer. Like that? That's a good answer. I'm telling you, give you 1,000 sounds, it'll be like show. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. "Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." Okay, here, Paul is starting off going, don't be deceived. Okay. "No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were," what did I say? "Were like this." Okay? Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and he does this list, and he's telling them, because Corinthian people, we're not talking about the leather that goes in the car, Corinthian people had a lot of worldliness. He wrote two letters, told them twice, "Man, you guys are You got to clean it up, man. You got to do better than you're doing. He lists 10 sins. He does not say one sin is worse than the other or better than the other. He's not going for that direction. He's talking about sins. He names 4 sexual sins, 3 financial sins, 2 escapism sins, and 1 sin that literally fits in each category, which is adultery, which is anything that you do or engage with that separates you and God or stands between you and God, and therefore almost every sin that you can possibly think of, except for a sin of ignorance, is considered adultery in and of itself. The people that are being addressed are those people at the church, watch this, people don't like it, you just better get over it, who are actively engaging in these sins. And they're not having any remorse or pursuit of repentance or deliverance. I'm going to say something first, and then I'll get to the rest of it. People that struggle with sins and bring them before the Lord are working it with God. You can't possibly think anybody anywhere needs more than that. If they're struggling with something and they bring it to the Lord, and the Lord is working in their lives, your prayer should be, help them. Paul's concern was that some of the people who were doing these sins could care less. And those people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Where were these people located? In the church. This is not a letter that's to the school board, not to try to offend the school board. It's not a letter to the city government, state government, federal government. This is a letter to the church. And so he mentions 4 sexual sins, 3 financial, 2 escapes, and 1 that covers all of them. He says, look, don't be deceived. No people that are sexually immoral. That's sexual immorality. Okay? That's a very broad term. Covers a lot of territory. Adulterers. Who? Adulterers. You know what the church hardly ever talks about? Adultery. And when they do talk about adultery, they're all usually pointing to the woman. And it's like, that's ridiculous. It takes 2 people to commit adultery. A male and a female. And guess what? It's sinful. And guess what? If you were in the Old Testament times, in order to keep the culture pure, they'd kill you. Okay, we don't do that now. But that doesn't mean that, well, that must mean we have permission to do it then. That's not what that means. And he talks about male prostitutes. I think we still call them gigolos, right? I think that's what they're still called. Isn't that what they're called?
I haven't heard it in a minute, but
okay. I mean, that's been what it used to be. Then he talks about homosexuality, homosexuals. And people will say, and you can get as mad at me as you want, well, no, Dave, once gay, always gay. And it's like Paul said, some of you were this way. You don't have to be this way. Stop being this way. And there's this attitude. Somebody who's stuck in homosexuality, somebody who's stuck in adultery, somebody who's stuck in sexual immorality. If you're stuck in sexual immorality, if you're a guy that's listening to me, mostly guys, sometimes girls, but if you're a guy that's listening to me and you're having pornography problems and you're stuck in it, you know what you do? You bring it to the Lord and you go, I need help. Help me get away from this. Help me break away from this kind of thing. Probably need to find somebody to help you to be accountable. But look, you can't just keep doing all this stuff and think, well, there's no problem. I'll just say, please forgive me at the very end and it'll be fine. Wrong. You have to repent. You have to turn your face towards the Lord. You have to address the sins. There has to be remorse. There has to be pursuit of repentance. And then there can be deliverance. But you got to acknowledge it. And there's no less or more sin in this process right here with people who are committing adultery or people who are homosexuals. It's not a contest. It's all wrong, including greedy people. Boy, you hear about that never in America, right? Greedy people. Am I talking about people that will make decisions for the sake of money at the expense of people is a sin. I don't wait. Ding, 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 ding. Here's a hammer. Ding, ding, ding. If Jesus was there, he'd just look at you and go, you're kidding, right? That's wrong. It's not correct. It's not correct to be pursuing the benefit of a wallet versus a heart. You don't need anybody to tell you anything different. Drunkards. You think, does that mean I can't have wine, Dave? Does that mean I can't have beer? Does that mean I can't have a shot of whiskey? No. It means you can't live your life as a drunkard. That means that you drink so much that you black out, you wake up the next day, and then you go, give me more, because you're being moronic. Then you know what he's talking about. And swindlers, people that pull scams, and all of these are at the same level. Wrong. That's the level they're at. And Paul says, you don't have to be stuck there. This is how some of you were like. Get away from that. But too many people visit the old neighborhood. And I'd like to say something about that, what I just said about the pornography and guys. Some guys will never admit it because they don't want to admit it because it's shameful. I understand. I'm a guy. Guess what? Bring it to the Lord. Own it. Eat it. Offer it up and get deliverance for it. Because that's what you got to do. And if you're a woman and you do the same, same answer. Any of those things are putting you in a bad position. Any of these things that I do, they're putting me in a bad position with God. If I'm being sexually immoral, idolater, an adulteress, a male prostitute, a homosexual, a thief, greedy, a drunkard, revilers, or a swindler, I'm putting myself in jeopardy with God, because then my sin's more important than what? My relationship with God? So you come before the Lord, you bring it, you lay it down, and you say, help me. You don't deny it, and you don't justify it. And when people say, well, you've done that, you can never change, that's a lie. You are born again in Jesus Christ. You're not bound to anything, no matter how much it within you tells you it owns you. It doesn't own you. You are free in Christ. The only question is, are you going to walk in that freedom, or do you want to move forward in that freedom and get free from the mastery of that sin that's destroying you on the inside? Never listen to Satan about what that is. There's forgiveness and there's deliverance, because we're talking about Jesus. You understand? That's huge. Now, we get back, just in case you think I was done, you'd be wrong. So when we get back, we'll cover the next element. By the way, in what book of the Bible do we find the words, he who wins souls is wise? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Hot topics.
Pointing out inconsistencies is not disparaging. It's just the truth. Number two, our job as in church discipline is where you can't judge those that are outside the church. Number three, the people we were talking about were Christians anyway. Number four, you think this is bad? Wait, this just gets worse and worse, people. Regarding Paul's statement of speaking evil of leaders being inappropriate, the context is also critical and can be misapplied. Now, how many times I told you, watch out for bad Bible brains.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out. And if you can't
shout sight, you'll have to... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where today's show is probably on the lines of, wow, it's almost like fire and brimstone. Almost. Wait, I got another segment to do that, and then the last segment won't be like that. Let's get into a couple of things. The next trivia question for y'all. I knew I was in trouble when I got to Texas and my daughter texted me, being in Tennessee, and her text said y'all. I thought, it's over. It's just all of life. That's it right there. All right, this is a little tougher, so I'm telling you that ahead of time. What prophet in the Old Testament said that the Jewish people were putting money in bags that had holes in them? So here's the image. They want you to, so you have a bag, right? And you have money, and you take the money and you put it in the bag, but unfortunately the bag has a hole in it. What happens then? It falls out. Okay? What prophet did that? Ooh, that's a good one. If you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. And then also, you can text us 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. All right. So don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. You have that opportunity to check stuff out. We have some different stuff on there. I think I have my different masks and stuff like that on there as well. I have all different kinds of stuff for all different kinds of stuff. Do you like that? That was very theological.
That was. That was indeed.
Yeah. I'm having a problem because I got a less than excellent grade on my last paper, and I got it like as I was leaving for the studio.
And, you're killing me, Smalls.
I know. It's just like I am going to be 1 point. It's going to be 1 point to the left or to the right on whether I get an A or an A minus. You just look at it and go, really? 1 point? Really?
Okay. I hate those.
I'd rather be somewhere in the middle. What are you going to do? All right, history. We got to do history, right? Do we have the new song we're going to try? We're going to try a new song. If it doesn't work, don't get mad at us. We're trying stuff because we like to try stuff.
It's really small, too.
It's really short? Okay, go ahead.
History, 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 history.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Can you play the old one? Play the old one.
Let's go.
Let's use that one, okay.
I know we got used to it now.
Yeah. Let's leave that one. That's good for now. All right, today is National Grouch Day. Well, they named a day after me. Oh, that's so nice of them. No, come on. That's National Grouch Day. That's for you to acknowledge that some people can be grouchy. Sometimes you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Unfortunately, for some people, if it's north, south, east, or west, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed. That's not good. That's you got to get rid of that. National Mushroom Day. You a mushroom fan? You like mushrooms?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh,
no.
You're like my brother. And he likes pizza, won't eat it with mushrooms. Like, nope, not having
ew.
It.
Ew.
Won't have it. National Cake Decorating Day. That's just, yay! I mean, that's great. How can you not like that? And then Global Hand Washing Day, which I don't think had anything to do with COVID, so I think it's just a weird timing. So
yeah, it is a weird time.
It's a weird time to pull that one out. All right. For those that don't know, on this day in 1951, the television sitcom I Love Lucy aired for the first time. Also, and that's a classic. And then 1889, because I'm a hockey fan, Wayne Gretzky became the all-time leading point scorer in the NHL. That's the day that he beat Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe was the second-place leader, and Gordie Howe, I had the opportunity to do a television interview with him and with Colleen, his wife. It was the last interview she ever did in her life, and they were gracious enough and sent me a sweatshirt and a hat from the championship, the Stanley Cup championship, Detroit Red Wings. So something I just thought I'd throw in your direction. Okay, trivia question that's on. This is a very tough trivia question. What prophet said that the Jewish nation was putting their money in bags that had holes? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us and let us know. So we just talked about kind of on the negative side of sex, right? Just now, just like a few minutes ago. And we talked about the adultery. We talked about, you know, sexual immorality. We talked about homosexuality. Now I want to talk about the other side of sex. And there's not, it's nothing in particular. It's just the next portion of text that's in the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 through 6. Do not deprive one another except when you agree for a time to devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again. Otherwise, Satan may tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 through 6. Even while Paul was writing, he knew in his writing, some things he said were like, yep, that's gold. That's not changing. But other things he said were like, well, you're going to have to decide if this works or if this doesn't work. So there's a lot of liberty that's given within the framework of Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. All right. Listen to what it says. And the reason I'm teaching this is because it just doesn't get taught a lot. And I think our church lives need it. The first thing it says is do not deprive one another except for when you agree and for a time. What is he talking about? It says do not deprive one another. He's talking about intimacy or sexual intimacy or sexual activity. You know how many times I can say the word sex? People are like, no, you can't say the word sex. That's bad. You should say the word lovemaking. Sexual activity. I cannot stress it enough. Right? And Paul says, look, husband and wife, listen to what it says. Do not deprive one another. Sexual activity is awesome. If it's godly, it's fantastic. It's not a prudish thing. God was the one who created it. I wish somebody would recognize that sexual activity was not created by Playboy magazine. Can you just help me? It wasn't created by porno sites. Remember? Adam and Eve. Adam knew Eve, and they had babies. What part of that don't we get? I'm looking for the understanding there. Do not deprive because it's something that's not should be done in marriage. It's the wrong thing to do. Now, let me make a couple of statements on that. Just in case you wonder, it is not, sexual activity is not just for procreation. Whoever said that has an extremely boring sexual life or just doesn't get it or doesn't care. Here's why. Verse 9 says, but if they do not have self-control, they should marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with desire. Paul is acknowledging in verse 9, hey, this is a passion issue. This is real stuff. And the real stuff is this. If you're a person that can't control, you should probably get married. You should have a spouse. You should be together. Sexual activity should be there. There's nothing about procreation in that whatsoever. And in fact, biblical truth, the New Testament never once says, be fruitful and multiply. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the book. And the reality check is by the time the New Testament came around, everybody got it. Okay, we get it. Get together, have babies, have kids, have more kids, have the kids, have kids, have the kids, have kids, have kids, have kids. And then, you know, perhaps they'll take care of you in your older age. Iffy. Okay, so the idea is that it's not even promoted in the New Testament the same way. The reason I bring that up is because people will say it's just for procreation. Ridiculous. It's this kind of thing that the church won't address that makes the church look anemic. It's not anemic, and it's not going to go by the wayside. Although we have failed in certain things that we're supposed to do, the church is not going to disappear because the church is built by Jesus Christ. But there's some things we can do better, and this is one of those things. Talking about stuff like this, it'd be kind of healthier if we were talking about this when the kids are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, but I guess now it's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. All right, so the idea of abstaining is only done in agreement and for the purpose of special separated time with God. That's it. It's for devotion to God. This arrangement that's made between a husband and wife should not be for too long. Because he says right there, when you agree, for a time, devote yourselves, then come back together. You should make this arrangement so it's not a long-term arrangement. And this is a concession and not a commandment. Can I explain the difference real quickly between a concession and a commandment? A concession is a pardon or an indulgence. A commandment is an injunction, a mandate, or a command. Paul is saying, I'm saying you guys don't spend too much time. Don't go too much time apart because you're going to mess this up. I'm giving you some guidelines. I'm trying to help you walk through this. It's a concession that we're doing it this way, not a commandment, but use this advice because I think this is really solid advice. By the way, and then we'll kind of close with this. By the way, sex, sexual activity, union, love, sharing, taking care of one another. It is not a weapon for a woman, and it is not a toy for a man. That is so disrespectful to God, who takes two entities of his creation and enables them to join together and to thereby create not just pleasure for one another, but produce life, which is fabulous that God gives us that opportunity to do that. These are not weapons and these are not toys. This is a part of living. And it's only the immature that can't talk about it, look at it, examine it, or deal with it. And there's no reason for it. God is not a prude. He created all of the parts on both man and women. Like, just stop. You got to stop doing stuff like that. Okay, who said that the Jewish nation was putting in money in bags that had holes in them? The answer is Haggai, in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. All right, take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Trivia question, trivia. Oh, this one's a little bit easier, folks. It's a little easier. So if you're ready, get ready. You're ready. Here you go. Okay, remember that last one was Haggai 1:6. What apostle used a handkerchief to help aid in healing of people? What apostle used a handkerchief? A handkerchief. What apostle? The hanky thing. You know, a handkerchief. Use that to bring about the healing. If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. I love shows like this because I know that some people are like, oh my gosh, he did 2 full segments on sex. I just can't believe it. You got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And only you can do that by if God helps you. That's an oath. Anyway, let's go into this very last teaching to go into the weekend with. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 through 10 says this. For it is written. Oh, wait, we got a lot more to do, don't we? We got to do the website. I forgot about the website altogether. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Don't forget our website. Also on the website, there's a kitchen sink. In case you haven't found that yet, you got to look through the whole website and find the kitchen sink. It's there. We have everything on the website, including the kitchen sink. Okay. Now, I do want you guys to have a good weekend. I don't want you to get uptight or whatever. And again, the more news you hear and focus on, the more that the world really kind of pushes in on you. Keep your focus on the Lord. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in thee. One of the big things that people are doing is they're finding out that in this next 2 weeks up to the election and all this other stuff, that there's a lot less peace in the air. There's a lot less peace on television, on the internet, on your tablets, on your phones, and on everywhere else. But that's where you need to make sure that you have your focus on the Lord and don't take your eyes off the Lord and sink in your faith. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. He will never fail you. He will not let you drown. He will cover you. So you keep it there, okay? All right, that's my overall, you know, pump them up encouragement kind of thing to say. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 through 10. I happen to like this one. I don't know. I've never really asked T this. T, do you like steak or meat or ribs or stuff like that?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm a carnivore at heart. I don't know what a vegetarian is.
You're going to like this then. 1 Corinthians 9, 9 through 10. For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is God really concerned with oxen, or isn't he really saying it for us? Yes, this is written for us because he who plows ought to plow in hope, and he who threshes should do so in hope of sharing the crop. This is written in the law, by the way. Is God really concerned with the oxen that it's treading out the grain? In other words, is God really concerned that the animals are doing what they're doing so that they get the food that they're supposed to get? No. That's not why this is even in the book. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, verse 8, actually, through verse 11. You're going to find out this is written in the law. Do not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. The whole point is this is God's way of communicating to us that we are more important than an ox. He's really saying this for us. Why? So that we will plow in hope. Listen to this. Listen to this. God is not concerned about the oxen. I know PETA, they're freaking out and you know, people eating tasty animals. I get it. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God is telling you this in the New Testament so that you will recognize that what you work at, what you labor at in hope will be rewarded. And he who plows ought to plow in hope, and he who threshes should do so in hope of sharing the crop. Let me explain to you that when you're pushing and pushing and pushing to move forward in the kingdom of God, there is an anticipation of a reward and a response that's going to come from the Lord, and he's going to reward you. And you might feel like you're a beast of burden, just trying to push through and get it done and do the job that you're supposed to do. And sometimes it feels that way. But you, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, need to do everything you do with an anticipation of hope. Stop anticipating that things are going to be more disastrous and more disastrous, and it's going to get darker and darker and darker. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's come to bring light. And he doesn't want you sitting there thinking that the stuff that you're going through, the stuff that you're plowing through, the stuff that you're pushing through is going to just leave you desolate. He doesn't want you to think you're going to be left alone, left unencouraged, left to suffer by yourself, left and with nobody to touch you or hug you or love you. That's a lie. Because God wants you to know that he takes care of the ox, and the ox is not more important than you. In fact, in Matthew 12:12, Jesus said, how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? It's not about the animals, it's about you. And he uses this animal example to say the animal does this stuff and they get rewarded. How much more is that going to be true for you, a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, made in the image of God, whom God wants to help, and you're going through a tough time and you're having to push through, and you got to push through the dirt, and sometimes you can't figure out what's going on? But the answer is never, never lose hope. Because hope is God's response, heaven operating in your behalf. And you have to see that hope and know that that hope is coming. It's the very thing, that the very principle of Christian faith, that Jesus Christ is coming again. If you didn't believe in the resurrection, you didn't believe he was going to return, then why are you doing what you're doing? There'd be no point. But we believe that what we're doing has a value and a return. And God's the one who pays it. And you might be going through a very difficult time. The world is. And the world is taking a lot of that out on Christians. And you as a Christian need to stand firm in your faith, recognizing that the amount of stuff you're going through now is nothing compared to the glory that's coming. And that God wants you to keep pushing forward, keep plowing forward, because you're going to get a share of the crop. You're going to get your reward. But you can't be quitting or hiding or running away. You keep moving forward, one step after the other. Is every step easy to take? Occasionally, I go running. I can tell you right now, after a certain amount of time, every step I take after a certain point is agonizing. But it yields fruit. And it gets me not just in better shape, it helps my heart. It does a lot of things. And sometimes we go through the agonizing part and you just think, I just don't know if I can do it. And the way to keep moving forward and keep going is to keep your focus on that hope. Scripture also says that hope is like an anchor to our soul in Hebrews chapter 6. And an anchor makes sure that the boat doesn't get so beat up that it drifts apart and loses all sense of direction. It keeps it so that it can't spin too far out. That's what hope should do for you and I. And God is the one who's saying, look, I even gave a testimony in the animals. And if I'm telling you that it's that I don't care about the animals, then what do you think that testimony's for? You! And what the Lord does, he does for us. I got to say this because I only got a little bit of time. God does not operate in these things for his sake. He does not extend grace because he needs to extend grace. He extends grace because we need it. And that need that we have, he takes care of. Get it? You got to think of it in terms of why God does what he does. You can't lose hope. Because people that lose hope lose the drive for living. And we have a fantastic reason for pushing forward. And a reward that far exceeds even our own imagination. That is a grace from God. Okay, the apostle that was healing people with the hanky. The apostle Paul, Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. There you go, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.